Blog Talk Radio.
Different day and time. We're here on Christmas Eve, midday, bringing you the show. Schedule's changed a little bit this week, but happy to have you on board, or if you're going to listen on archive later, I think you're going to enjoy our show today. This is Chai Chat, Creating New Worlds at Work. This show is about transforming your world of work, and I am Victoria Vitier. I have a business called Enlightened Life Coaching and Consulting, and I work with individuals, couples, and small businesses and management groups to enhance and transform their lives and their business world. And my co-host is Mary Rockenstein, and she is a creative leadership guru. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Victoria. Hi, everyone. Yes, my company is Leadership Edge Solutions, and I'm a certified speaker, trainer, coach with the John Maxwell brand. And I'll tell you, my favorite thing in the world is helping people learn how to think instead of telling them what to think. And Victoria, I have to say before we go any further, do you know what today is besides Christmas Eve Eve?
I'm not quite sure. I don't know, but it
might be. I'm showing my age, I guess, to our listeners, but today is the celebration of Festivus. It traces back to, honestly, it's kind of a comedic thing, but anybody that watched Seinfeld back in the 90s, think it was 1997, an episode aired. Yeah. And if you remember Victoria, the characters, George Costanza, who was kind of Jerry's sidekick, his parents, his parents on the show, the dad was, I think, Frank Costanza, but it was actually Jerry Stiller, Ben Stiller's dad in real life.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So this day, the Costanzas, it didn't celebrate the other traditional holidays in December. They celebrated Festivus. And it's funny, if you don't know, instead of having, for example, a tree, they used a bare aluminum pole.
Okay.
And instead of giving gifts, which many do, during the holiday season, in Festivus, you don't give gifts, you share grievances. And then finally, the merriment, instead of caroling or, playing instruments or whatever you might do, there were feats of strength. So it was all types of wrestling. It was just, it was hilarious. So
my goodness.
Anybody that knows what I'm talking about, happy Festivus. And for those of you that don't, you should download that episode. It's hilarious.
Yes, yes. That crew was, they could make anything, a festival in that show, and they did.
Yes.
So, we can all come together on at least on Festivus here. So happy Festivus to everyone. And, we wanted to start out, the show today with a quote by Emerson, and that quote is, "Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm." Mm-hmm. Our show today is Are You a Work Zombie? Awaken, and there's nothing better to awaken you than a shot of enthusiasm. So we're going to be talking about that and some other awakened ways of doing your being here, but we wanted to just refer back to last show. Remember, we left you with the thought of, hey, gee, are you a do-have-be person or a be-do-have person? For those of you that didn't listen to the show, you might wonder what I'm talking about, but go back, check that out on archive, because we had some really important thoughts to share with you on that show. And indeed, I hope those of you who did think about it a little bit were able to kind of come up with a little bit about how it is that they do their lives and whether or not they are indeed coming from an initial place of power and sort of enlightened being or not. So what we're going to do here today is we're going to sort of bridge from the thought of our show last week to thinking about how is it that we can be at work, because being is the place that when you come from that place, everything good kind of just organically unfolds from that place. And so we're really going to focus on this whole concept of being. How do we do being, which is the confound? And what is being anyway? I mean, you know, it sounds like some esoteric, oh, gee, you know, you sound like some kind of a yoga teacher or something telling us being out here. I'm at work, and this is the daily grind, and what are you talking about? Well, Mary, you know, what? Tell us a little bit about, you know, what your experience of being. We had some really nice examples from you shared with me about your life recently.
Yeah, I think as a starting point, too, you know, for our listeners, think about these as life patterns. And Victoria, you've mentioned, and I would have to agree with you, I think we are groomed from a very early stage to just leap into that do-have-be model. And I think for many of us, the be-do-have model of being and as a life pattern, that's a different way of thinking. It does take, I believe, practice.
Yeah.
It takes courage to make that shift, but I think the payoff is it's amazing if you've made that shift. And if you haven't, you'll see that when you do.
It's insurmountable.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It is. Yeah. And, you know, I look back at, you know, my life, and I've worked for different companies, and I can think of a couple of companies where I felt like I was in sync. I felt like I could go to work and be my authentic self. And when I think about the disconnects, I have to take some responsibility because I don't believe I was going into work every day in a state of being. I was going in a state of doing. I also took a moment to reflect after our last show and really, you know, connected again with what is my being. And I keep coming back to, for me, if I'm in my authentic state of being, regardless of what I'm doing, I have to be in a state that's reflecting kindness. Creativity is important to me, laughter, and pouring into others. Again, I have to look at, and I think our listeners do, those are mine. Those aren't necessarily yours.
Right.
But what is
right.
it that is authentic right. in you? What is it that when you are really in alignment, this is who you are? I had a funny example of this, Victoria, just this week. It was kind of funny how this
Imagine
happened.
Imagine that in retail season.
Yeah. I know. But truly, just a couple days ago, I was out doing some last-minute grocery shopping for a dinner that I'm making on Friday. And I didn't have a lot of items. I probably had 9 or 10. So, you know, I was able to go through either the self-checkout or the express lane. Just so happened that self-checkout was pretty busy. So I looked for an express lane and had a couple in front of me, and I thought, oh, this will be easy. Took my items, put them on the belt, and looked up and saw that the people in front of me had probably 25 gift cards. And I thought, no problem, you know, no big deal. Well, I realized, and I wasn't really paying attention, I was just kind of looking around and thinking about just kind of being in the moment. It was just kind of a neat thing. I overheard the cashier say to the couple, no, if you're buying those kinds of gift cards, you can't, those will not add up to fuel points. Now, I'm a big believer in fuel points, so I'm getting, oh, I know what they're talking about. So the cashier calls the manager over. Now, probably five minutes has transpired by now. The manager comes over and says, yeah, you can't, you know, if we ring up these gift cards, you're not going to get the fuel points. What denominations do you want? I'll go back and get them. While the manager left, the couple turned around and looked at me and immediately apologized. And I looked at them. I said, what are you apologizing for? And the husband said, well, you know, I realize we're holding up the line and we're taking a long time. I said, you know what? And I truly said this. I said, you know what? I need to work on patience. That's not really a virtue that I was given at birth, I'm quite sure. I said, this is really good for me. I said, don't worry about it. And okay, fine. So they continued on. I continued on. Literally another 5 minutes passed. They turned around again, and now the wife is engaging me. I'm so sorry. You've got to be so frustrated. I said, no. I said, I'm great. Look outside. It's not raining. The sun is shining. There's no accidents out there. Life is great. It's really okay. By now, the cashier is apologizing. And meanwhile, I've had a couple people come in behind me, clearly assess that, oh, this is taking too long, and move to another line. And at one point, they looked at me again and said, you know, really, if you want to get in another line, that might make sense. We don't know how long we're going to be here. And I said to them again, really, this is totally fine. You know what, I've got a lot to do at home, but right now I'm just taking a moment to catch my breath, and this is totally, don't worry about it. It's okay. Well, the next thing I know, a guy gets behind me that's got my favorite football team, and I think yours too, the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's got a Pittsburgh Steelers. So I start chatting with him, and I'm completely oblivious to, you know, what's happening. The couple finally gets on their way, and again, on their way out the door, they grab me and Merry Christmas. Thank you for being so patient. And I thought about that because when we think about the choice that we make, do have be or be do have, I think there were some people that I was interacting with in that store that were clearly functioning from do have be. We have to hurry up and do this stuff so we can go home and then we'll be happy at the end of the day. I think the cashier was functioning from that way of thinking, that pattern of being. I also think the couple was. And it's interesting because how many times do we allow situations like that that happen outside of work to transform us in a positive or a negative way? And then we go back to work and we're either, hey, I'm feeling pretty great, or, oh, I just had the worst experience. And it's a choice. It's a choice, Victoria, that we make. And I know that it gets into a little bit of some information that you've shared with me, and I'm hoping you're going to share it with our listeners today, because I know that you're a big fan of Eckhart Tolle, and he really gets into this, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. These are choices, and, you know, when people listen to this story, you know, you might chuckle, you might go, oh, yeah, that happened to me the other day. But the fact is, we really can choose in any given moment whether to be in that moment or to attempt to wrestle with that moment and do it.
Yeah.
Often, when you try to do a moment, you find yourself in a lot of resistance because you cannot control all the time, all of the features that the moment has to offer you. So if you try to wrestle it to the ground, you're going to be living a fairly stressful life. And that's pretty much how most people live their lives. We're trying to do life instead of experiencing being in life. Eckhart Tolle wrote a book a number of years back called A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose. It's an awesome book. Eckhart Tolle was on Oprah's show and did a number of webinar things from her show, and so most people probably have heard of him. This book talks in one portion of the book about work, the life of work, and how to awaken your doing your work. And he presents three modalities of what he calls awakened doing. And that simply means doing from your being, which is the model we talked about last week, which is be, then do, then have. The first modality of awakened doing he calls acceptance. This simply means that you are at peace while you are doing something. It doesn't mean that you're resigned to it or you've caved in or you've capitulated. It means that you are at peace. You've embraced what it is that you're doing and you've accepted it, and you're at peace while you're doing it. It might not be something you would totally put at the top of your list to do. It doesn't matter. You can still be at peace with it. That's the first modality of awakened doing. The second modality of awakened doing is enjoyment. And this simply means enjoying what you're doing, being fully present at that moment with what you're doing, not doing something just as a means to an end. How many times do we do something really looking at, oh, where's this going to get us? Enjoyment truly means being immersed in this moment and enjoying what it is that you're doing in and of itself without it necessarily being a means to an end and its value to you. The third modality of awakened doing is enthusiasm, which we started out with the Emerson quote. Enthusiasm is joy plus intention. It's like having the wind in your sails. That's the feeling you have when you have enthusiasm. You don't have to push the wagon along. There is something organic, something joyful, something intrinsic that is happening automatically when you're in a joyful place and you have an intention in mind or in heart. So the three modalities of awakened doing are acceptance or enjoyment or enthusiasm. You are powerful enough, and if you are conscious enough, you can choose to live all of your doing in this awakened state. And if you do, what you do will serve you every way, shape, and form. It will lead to good things, but it's not about the means to an end. It's about in that moment, the prize is already yours because you're totally immersed and accepting and peaceful with what it is that you're doing. What happened in the line story that Mary just gave us was that when she was able to carry this energy of being, things started to loosen up a little bit and change around. People started to laugh a little. The Steeler guy showed up behind her, which is definitely what an act of grace, given all the other jerseys that he could have been wearing. Anyway, my point here, though, is that if one of these three is not present, then you have to understand that you are out of alignment with your true purpose, because your true purpose is not to be in conflict and in resistance with yourself. And that you, when you are not present, you're creating unhappiness, that is to say suffering, in one form or another for yourself and those around you. So think about it. Anybody who's in a state of sort of joy or acceptance or peace when they're enjoying, when they're doing something, is going to be a joy to be around, is going to be pleasant to be around. And if they're not, if they're in resistance, it's going to somehow rub off on you and not feel so good in that endeavor with them or on that team with them. Make sense, Mary?
Oh, it does. You know, a couple things come to mind when you were talking about that, and some of them are more simplistic and some of them are a little more strategic in thinking, but just simple things. In an office environment, you know, you walk in to make a copy and there's five people ahead of you. And if you think about, again, if you're in touch with your being and then your doing is a reflection of that, how are you behaving in that moment? You know, are you, again, looking at this, hey, this is an opportunity to talk to a couple of these, my coworkers, I don't see them very often, or just bring joy and levity into the workplace. And that's where, again, I think the starting point of being is so important, because if you have that in alignment and you are really solid in your core about what that is, the doing part, I think, becomes much easier. And, oh, my gosh, what a much more pleasant way to live your life. We've talked in the past a lot about, in the last two episodes, we've talked about engagement and the disappointing levels of engagement in the workplace. And I really think this whole, you know, idea of acceptance and enjoyment and enthusiasm, which of those words, you know, which any of those would lead to higher levels of engagement if we just practiced them and allowed ourselves to believe that this is possible for me. I can actually do this. You know, the title of our show was kind of tongue-in-cheek, but how many of us out there right now are coming into work every day in that zombie-like stance?
Right.
Because we're showing up and we immediately start in the doing mode, so we never even get to acceptance, enjoyment, enthusiasm, because our starting point is doing, it's not being. Who am I? Am I funny? Am I compassionate? Am I joyful? What is my being? And I'm going to bring that into work every day before I start my doing. I have another quick example of this. You know, I had the benefit of working for an organization very early in my career, I believe gave me a lot of the tools that I have today. It was in the right place at the right time, and it was in a retail restaurant environment. And at this particular juncture, I was a general manager of a restaurant. And anybody that's been in retail, you know that you have multiple levels of supervision or supervisors. And so I had a district supervisor was my supervisor, and I had several different district supervisors in my day. The role of a district supervisor back in that time, the perception was they come in, they evaluate your operation, they sit down, they give you feedback, they move on to the next restaurant. And that's what many of them did. And you can imagine what I just articulated was starting from a point of doing. I have to come in, I've got to do an evaluation, then I have to sit down and give feedback, and everybody's going to know what to do, and I'm going to leave and go, you know, wreak havoc on the next restaurant. I had a very special district supervisor at one point in time in my life, and the first thing he did when he came into my restaurant was, with a big smile on his face, I might say, walked around, talked to everybody. He would remember stories that they had shared with him during a last visit. And when he was there, and by the way, he had to do evaluations too, and he had to sit down and give us positive and constructive feedback. But my associates at the end of the day looked forward to his visits. I can't say that about any of the other district supervisors. But this particular person, in reflection, really functioned from a state of being. He was very kind. He was compassionate. In fact, I recently wrote him a note. I found him on LinkedIn, Victoria, and I shared with him how much I appreciated and how grateful I was for having him as a role model in my life at such an early stage in my career. That was a great example, again, of someone who absolutely was in alignment with his being and his doing and what a difference it made in the lives of those that he led.
Well, and what a testimony, you know, and what a gift, you know, for you to reach out to him at this point. The fact is he wasn't only being when he was doing the evaluations, but he was also being authentically connected with the people
yeah.
that he was engaging with. So there
yeah.
is an intimacy that he brought to his job. So he was doing the evaluations, but while he was doing the evaluations, he was being himself and being authentic and really engaged with the people he was, you know, evaluating. Nobody wants to be evaluated, you know, but it didn't even feel like an evaluation. It felt like, oh, my friend's back. So, you know, and many of you, you know, again, we do these shows for half an hour because we don't, you know, want to sort of drag these points on and ask for much of your time. But honestly, if you really focus on some of what we're saying in these shows, the leverage is immense. It's kind of like if you're trying to turn a wheel from the circumference, good luck. It's going to take a lot of effort to turn it from the circumference. But if you are twisting the wheel from the middle, the leverage is much greater. The points, the insights, the enlightenments that we offer in our shows are like turning the wheel from the center of the wheel. We yeah. are helping you in your leveraging being in your life of doing, which is not mumbo jumbo. It's actual energetic principles that really work. They're as powerful as gravity, except gravity is a lot more familiar to most of you than some of these principles. But these principles are extremely important because what they end up doing is bringing joy and peace into your life. And at the end of the day, isn't that what most people need more of in their lives?
Yeah.
So this is really important stuff. And these life examples, I'm sure that, you know, if we had 10 callers call in right now, you could share examples from your life, because we are all living in the same world here and we are all having similar experiences. And you know when somebody is more in a state of being than somebody is in a state of doing, because you feel stress and tension and resistance around the people who are running around doing versus the people who are sort of floating around being. You know immediately that there's something different about somebody who's at peace. And it's been interesting that, you know, if anybody's been in the presence of, you know, enlightened masters, you know, and Dalai Lama, whatever, you know, people will tell me there is a tangible feeling that I get being in the same room with one of these monks or one of these, you know, elders or one of these whatevers, you know. And it's like, are they different than you and me? No, they just practice this. They're human too. But they practice these things. And meditation, I'll just throw this word in, you know, there's a guy named Jon Kabat-Zinn who you may have heard of, and he presents something called mindfulness meditation. And what is mindfulness? It's exactly what we're talking about here. When Eckhart Tolle is talking about awakened doing, what's he talking about? He's talking about doing from a mindful place, acceptance, be at peace. Enjoyment, be fully present in the moment, not just a means to an end. Enthusiasm, be completely immersed in the joy of doing whatever it is, and there'll be wind in your sails as you move toward a desire. So again, mindfulness, awakening, being, these are concepts that are not just words and mumbo-jumbo from some woo-woo kind of place. They're real, powerful, practical, energetic principles that when you put them to work in your life, magic happens. And that's exactly what I do with clients all day long and what I do with businesses. We make magic happen, and we make
yeah.
magic happen in these ways. Right, Mary?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And as we stated earlier too, Victoria, it's practice. If this is not your natural state, if this
right.
is something that sounds a little, might be a little uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
change is uncomfortable. But again, when you look at the benefit, the payoff, the acceptance,
absolutely.
The enjoyment, the enthusiasm, right, the payoff is tenfold. So I think the key is it's really taking some time. And, you know, this is a good time of the year, right, before the new year. This is really a good time of the year to sit back and reflect upon, am I really content
yeah.
with my being? Am I really in sync with that? Is my being in alignment with my doing? And am I that person in my personal life and at work? Or is there a disconnect? Are there things that are happening in one or the other that I'm carrying into the other realm?
Right.
And be very cognizant of that.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, one version of this is, are you a work zombie? The other version of this is, are you a fake? Are you at work not really being who you are? Are you somebody different when you walk out the door?
Yeah.
That's important to ask yourself. You know, that's important to understand. And I can say that what we're talking about here has real – I mean, honestly, I've worked with so many clients who, you know, they come in here not for health issues, but by the way, after a few sessions, they go, you know, this is really crazy, but I went to my family doctor, you know, and I hadn't seen him for, you know, a number of months, and I started working on this stuff with you and doing this stuff differently. And I got to tell you, you know, I don't understand why, but my cholesterol levels are down, my blood pressure's down, my weight's down, the readings are crazy. And the doctor said, well, what are you doing?
They're
working, you know, on these, they're learning how to be their lives instead of do their lives. Honestly, we're human beings. It's in the word. We're not human doings. Let's just, kind of play with it. Go ahead, Mary, for a second before I play with
that. I was
going to
say, I think
exercise.
It's the best gift they could give themselves.
Oh, absolutely. And honestly, and it's the only gift you can give yourself. No one can give this to you. Mm-hmm. No one can bestow this upon you. We talk about this, and I'm going to do just a little quick minute exercise here with you guys, but this is something that has to come from inside of you. It's something but honestly, you're going to see that it's like when you're thirsty and you sit down and you take a drink of water, how good this feels. When you start to get the hang of this a little bit, and we'll talk in a future show not too far from now about ego, when you can sort of silence that part of you and just sort of allow yourself to experience something a little bit different, you're going to see how good this feels. For right now, for instance, I don't know if you guys are at work or wherever you're listening to this, but particularly if you're at work, it'd be cool if you could just stop for a minute, close your eyes, put your pencil down, turn everything off. This isn't about silence. The world is never silent. You're always going to hear noises. There's always going to be stuff going on around you. But it's about inviting yourself to a little bit of a still point. So if you close your eyes, put your pencil down, and let stillness enter in. And I'd like you to just, once that happens, and you take a few deep breaths and just settle into your seat, I'd like you to just feel into, are you feeling peace, joy, satisfaction? Or are you feeling stress, tightness, frustration, irritability, edginess, unhappiness? It's really important to take note throughout your day on how you're feeling. Stress doesn't come out of nowhere. It builds up. And if we notice it soon enough, it's kind of like your gas tank. If you've got a quarter tank going on, you might want to think about where's the gas station. But we run on no gas all the time in our energy systems, and then we wonder why all of a sudden we bottom out or we're fried or we're starting to be edgy. Or, you know, it's important to sort of check in on these things throughout your day, and it only takes maybe 30 seconds of closing your eyes, relaxing a little, settling in, and getting, a barometer check here. Okay, what's going on with my gas tank? So as Mary said, the best thing that you can do for yourself, this is a present. And we want to, in this holiday season particularly, want to invite you guys, everybody out there, to give yourself the gift of being more and doing less. And this is ancient Vedic wisdom from East India. Literally, it's be more, do less. And we want also to, invite, may the force of awakening be with you this holiday season, because we would like to invite you to awaken. Next show, we're going to talk about two powerful intentions to start off your new year with. Right, Mary?
Absolutely. And we're not going to tell them what they are, so you're going to have to stay tuned and listen in.
That's it. You got to read our show page and see what's coming up. So happy holidays, happy Festivus, have fun, feats of wonder, and we'll talk to you next show, okay?
Take care, everyone. Happy holidays.
Oh, all right. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.